Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. Appreciate the presence of the Lord. Amen. Not everywhere that you go and gather in God's name and in God's house are you going to feel the presence of the Lord there. Because some places he's not welcome. And as we shared here a couple of weeks ago, amen, with the things in the history in the Old Testament, amen, when Eli had turned against God and then his own grandson was named Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord is departed from this house. The Ark of the Covenant was taken from that house. And there's many places of worship today where the glory of the Lord has been taken out of that place. Why? Because of the lack of sincere worship to God. They just don't need God. We just got it all figured out. And, you know, you come in here, we're going to tell you about this great God, and we're going to tell you things that he's done, but he's not alive to them today. This God that we're serving today, he's alive and he's well. Amen, Brother Eric, you can come down. Amen, we're going to receive the offering this morning. Remember the missions in your giving, those that are supporting the pastors in Cuba, that you continue to do that, and God will bless you. Amen. Challenge yourself. How do you challenge yourself? Determine in your heart you are going to increase your missions giving. Whatever you're giving now, if you're giving $1, I'm going to give $2. If I'm giving 10, I'm going to give 20. Whatever it is, you don't have to double what you're giving, but challenge yourself a little bit. Everything else is going up in cost. And you don't challenge the store. You go in there and it costs more. I'm not paying that. You go down to the gas station, I'm not paying that much for a gallon of gas. I'm going to pay what I was paying 2 years ago. You're not going to do that there. And it's a lot of things in life. Your insurance rates, everything's going up. You can go in and say, I'm not going to pay it. Well, then you won't have the benefit of it. But when it comes to God's giving, giving to God, sometimes we don't want to increase our giving. I'm not talking about your tithing. I'm talking about your giving above and beyond tithing, the offerings you give, the missions that you give to, special things you give to. Challenge yourself and just give a little more and see if God will open the windows of heaven. God, we thank you for this another day that we can give to you. We pray that you will help us, God, as we give to you, God, that the needs and things that we face in our own homes, in our own lives, God, they won't go unpaid and unmet. God, but we give to you first and you will multiply what's left. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This week, take the time to do it. You're going to have to take time out of your busy schedules to do it. But take the time this week to get out there and enjoy God's creation. We're in the fall of the year. The leaves are turning. Yes. You have the opportunity to get over to that Kinzu Bridge. Get out there and look at the beauty. Amen. That God's created out there. We can go down into the Kinzu area here. It's a beautiful creation that God has out there. And this thing with the leaves turning like they do, it doesn't last forever. It goes by rather quickly. And so do that. Do yourself that favor this week. It's good for your soul. It's good for you. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to look at a few things here this morning. And tonight, I'm going to carry this thought over that I'm sharing this morning. I'm going to carry it in tonight. And you're going to understand in a little bit how easy that's going to be to do. But what I want to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. And we're going to look at verses 15 and 16 and 17 is what we're going to read. But the thought that I want to share with you this morning is this. And this was before all this stuff that happened yesterday happened. So God is speaking to us. And the thought that I want to share with you this morning is, are you ready? And so when somebody says, are you ready? You're like, ready for what? That's probably happened in your lifetime. You're in your home, you're busy doing something, and your wife will come up to you, and us husbands, we don't like this, and they'll say, are you ready? And you're like, ready for what? Was I supposed to be ready for something? Well, you got an appointment. Oh, I got an appointment. Then, you know, the words start flying between each other. But when you hear those words, are you ready? The first things that we think of is ready for what? And we as believers, when someone shares something like this, and you hear the title, are you ready? Well, we think about, they're going to talk about the coming of the Lord. They're going to talk about Jesus coming. And that's what he's going to talk about to us this morning. That's not what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. But I'm going to talk to you about being ready for something and ready for what. We're going to find out what it is that we have to ready ourselves for. God, we pray that you will help us today, God. Lord, that you will bless the reading of the word, that you will anoint us, oh God, that we can share this thoughts this morning, God, that we can find ourselves in a state of readiness, God, for different things. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so, are you ready? Ah, oh, that's really cold. That was good. I enjoyed that. Are you ready? Ready for what? So when you hear this thought, ready, this could be pertaining to many situations in life. Many situations in life. In the morning, I'm sure that you school, ones that are here this morning, you hear the words from your parents. Are you ready? And so you don't say to your parents, ready for what? You know that you're getting ready for school. You know you're getting ready for that school bus to come by, however you get to school. So are you ready? In the morning, what do we say? Well, I got to get up at such and such time because I have to get ready for work. I have to get prepared for work. We have to get ready for school. This is one that we all like. Casper even likes this one. Casper, I listen to you even like this one. Are you ready to eat? Are you ready to eat, Casper? He's got his attention on something else there at the moment. But even us adults like that, are you ready? You're out preparing the meal, whether the husband prepares it or the wife prepares it, and you're sitting in your lounge chair, just kicked back, relaxing, enjoying the aromas of the food, and someone walks into that room and says, are you ready? That person's usually not going to say, ready for what? They know what's going on. They know that you have prepared a meal, and now are you ready to eat? When it's time to prepare to go to church, we think about this. Everybody in the house is getting ready to go, and then the announcement will come out and say, are we ready to go? And we know what they're talking about. That's getting ready. Ready for what? But here is one that we're going to look at this morning, and that is this. We don't look at it in this light. Usually ready means I'm getting something ready because I'm going to do something. But are you ready to receive? And that's what we want to talk about this morning. Are you ready to receive what God has prepared for you? We have to ready ourselves for it, just like you have to ready yourself to go to school. You prepare yourself to go to school. You ready yourself to eat a meal. You prepare yourself to do it. You get yourself ready to go to bed. You just don't fall into bed without getting ready. If you do, you probably feel pretty yucky in the morning if you slept in the clothes that you wore all day yesterday, slept in them all night, and I get up in the morning, might as well just wear the same clothes again today. No, you get ready. You prepare for the day. But yet many times we don't receive what it is that we need from the Lord because we are not ready to receive that which we need from the Lord. And we want to look at this morning. You have to be ready to receive from the Lord. Ready could also mean prepared. You have to be prepared to receive from the Lord. God has blessings and things that he wants to do for us, but we are not finding ourselves in that state of readiness. We are not prepared to receive it. If you had a gift for somebody and you went looking for them and you wanted to give them that gift, you hope to find them in a state of readiness to receive that gift that you have for them. You go there to give them the gift that you have for them. You told them to be at a specific place at a specific time, and you get there, and they're not there. They're out doing something else. They're not going to receive that gift because they weren't prepared to receive that gift. And so it is with the Lord. He has many things prepared for us, but at times we don't receive them because we are not prepared to receive them. We have to be ready to receive the blessing of the Lord. And so we as believers, most times when the question comes, are you ready? What we think about is the coming of the Lord. We think about a second coming. Are you ready? And since this thing transpired yesterday, there's a lot of chatter going on social media about people being ready for the coming of the Lord. Well, that's good and wonderful that they're thinking about it now, but why did it take that event of yesterday to make people think that possibly the Lord could return at any moment? Because he could. Are you ready? And so we as believers, when we hear that, are you ready? We think about the coming of the Lord. But this morning, we're going to look at some things that we need to be ready for in order to receive them. You have to be ready to receive them. Naaman, when he had that leprosy, and he went down, I think he was a Syrian, he went down into Israel to talk to the prophet. And you know the story well. And when he first went there, and the prophet told him, he says, "Will you just go down?" He wouldn't even come out and greet him. And this Naaman, he was an important guy. He was an official delegate of the government. He was somebody special that the prophet didn't even go out to receive him. And all that prophet sent his messenger out and says, "Tell him to go dip in the River Jordan 7 times and he'll be made whole." And he wouldn't do it because Naaman wasn't ready to receive the miracle that God had prepared for him. We sometimes like to put God in a box, and if God's going to do it, this is how he is going to do it. Don't fall into the mistake of doing that, because God's going to move however it is that he is going to move. He's going to move in his time and in his way, but we need to be ready to receive. And all this Naaman had to do, we know the rest of the story, how eventually he calmed himself down. His people that were with him, his entourage that was with him, talked some sense into him and says, "Wait a minute. If he'd have told you to do some noble thing, you gladly would have went and did that. But all he asked you to do is this humble thing. Just go down in that River Jordan and dip 7 times and you'll be made whole." But Naaman wasn't ready to receive it until he received what it is that the man of God said. Then he received his miracle. And so in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 and 17, we're going to read. And we're picking up in the middle of a story here. And this is a story about Elisha the Syrian. How the Syrians had surrounded about. They were out to kill him. They sent people looking for him, and they caught him. It will say down in the valley in the plains, and there was mountains all around, and they had him surrounded, and he was about fixing to die the next morning because things weren't looking good. And so we're picking up in verse 17. And when the servant that was with Elisha, the man of God, was risen early in verse 15 and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" That was the reality of the situation. It was a no-joke thing. He went out there, and it's like he come back. "Oh, my goodness, Elisha, we are in trouble. We are circled about. There was horses and chariots about this city. What in the world are we going to do? We're doomed. It's over. It's done." He wasn't ready to receive what God was about to do for them. He wasn't in that state of preparedness. He wasn't ready. He wasn't thinking beyond the here and the now. Sometimes we can't get beyond the reality of the situation that we're in, and we can't look above and beyond and see what God can do in this impossible situation. And so he said, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered him, Elisha answered, and he says, "Don't be afraid." He said, "Fear not, don't be afraid. For they that are with us are more than they that are with them." And that servant probably looked around and says, "Man, I know you're crazy now. It's just you and me standing here. One and one equals two, Elisha. There's just two of us here. Did you hear what I told you? We are circled. We are surrounded. And these are men of war and they're chariots. And you're saying that there's more of us here than there is of them? You don't know what you're talking about." He still wasn't ready to receive what God wanted to do for them. And then Elisha prayed in 17. And he said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Open my servant's eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And so we have to be ready for you have to be ready for God to move on your behalf. In whatever situation you find yourself in today, it might be like, "I've tried everything. It's a hopeless situation. There's no way out of this." Then you need to be ready to let God move on your behalf. And so Elisha and his servant found themselves in a hopeless situation. And that hopeless situation is in verse 15. And there was a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. A hopeless situation that they found themselves in. What kind of a hopeless situation are you finding yourself in today? You've tried everything. You've done everything you've known to do. You've prayed to God. You tried to reach out in faith a little bit. You don't see any resolution to the problem and situation that you're facing. And that's where you are today. And so this servant, he asked that logical question. That logical question that he asked, he said, "My master, What shall we do? What are you going to do when you find yourself in a hopeless situation? When you find yourself in a hopeless situation, you have a decision that you have to make. You can lay down and die and say, there's more of them than there is of me. And I guess this is my end. I guess this is what God has for me. Or you can let your eyes be open. And he says, what now? What now? What shall we do? What's going to happen now? And remember, amen, do is an action word. He says, what are we going to do? He said, what now? And that's in verse 15 at the end of it. He says, at last, my master, how shall we do? Do is an action word. That's a verb word. That's a motion word. What are we going to do now? How shall we do? How are we going to fare in this? How is this going to work out? Because I don't see any resolution this problem here. Amen. And no matter what your situation today, action is needed on your part. You can just lay down and die if you want to. I made reference to it the last few weeks. I've been talking about it a little bit. Amen. Those lepers that were put out of their community and the camp was being attacked and so on and so forth. And that they had to stay away. And they says, are we just going to sit here until we die? Or are we going to rise up and go in and see what the Lord will do? What are you going to do? Amen. What are you going to do? Are you ready? No matter what your situation is, action is needed on your part. Are you ready to move? Remember, that's what I'm talking about today. Are you ready? Are you ready to move into action? Are you ready to take the steps that you need to take? It might not be a physical thing that you need to do. More than likely, it's a spiritual thing that you need to do. At times, we need to let faith arise in our hearts in the situations that we find ourselves in. Amen. This action that we could need to go into possibly could be acting in faith, knowing that God's got this. God, I know that you got this. I'm going into action. I'm putting this into your hands. I'm trusting into you. Amen. And you can repeat scripture to the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. And that's the last verse of the book of Matthew, I believe. He said, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When you're in those hopeless situations, Jesus is there with you. He never leaves you alone. Whatever you're going through in your life right now, you are not alone. You might feel alone because you can't see Jesus. You can't reach out and touch him like I can touch his piano. But you can touch him by faith. And we stand on the promises of the Word of God. He said, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And the end of the world hasn't happened yet. And so you have to get yourself ready. And if you felt like the end of the world, amen, is there for you. This servant felt like it was the end of the world for him. And Jesus says, he'll be with you unto the end. So if you think it's the end of your world as you know it, Jesus is there with you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. But Elisha, he had a different reaction. Amen. In the same situation, his reaction was very different. He was a man of faith. You can give two people the same situation, the same set of circumstances, and they'll handle it in very different ways. And Elisha had a different reaction. In verse 16, the first thing Elisha said is, fear not. And that's what you need to do to yourself. You need to ready yourself to receive that help from God. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him, and he will not prevail against you. You need to let faith arise in your heart. You need to be like Elisha said. He said, we're not going to be afraid. Although there's more of them than there is of us, is what you're telling me. We're not going to be afraid. That's the first and foremost thing. Don't have fear. Don't have fear that it's going to be a terrible outcome, that this could happen, this could possibly happen. Don't let fear rule in your life. Amen. The biggest favor that we could do ourselves at times is to do what Elisha said here in verse 16. Fear not. We have to fear not. Do we like the circumstance or the situation that we're in? Probably not at times. Amen. We don't like that. As our brother spent a couple of days in the hospital this week, he didn't. That was his choice. He didn't want to do that. But in the middle of that, he could have been full of fear. What's going to happen to me now? Or he could have let faith arise in his heart. I'm not going to be afraid in this because Jesus is with me every step of the way. He said he was never going to leave me nor forsake me. It might be my end coming, coming, but I'm not going to be afraid. And so that's the biggest favor that you can do yourself, is to get ready for the move of God in your life, to let God move on your behalf. And that is to fear not. We need to realize and know who God is in the situation that you're facing. The bigger your situation and your problem, amen, the bigger the miracle that God can do for you. So in your situation, amen, you need to know. Amen, you need to know and realize who God is. God, I don't like this. It's uncomfortable. Job realized who God was in his situation, and he knew God was in control. He says, even if this thing takes me to my grave, I'm still going to trust in God. I'm going to go to my grave trusting in God. And in the situations that you're facing in life, even if this doesn't turn out the way I want it to turn out, I'm going to go through this trusting in God. Even if it's to my demise, even if it brings me to my end. Amen. We have to realize and know who God is in your situation. Elisha knew who God was. And he said this in verse 15. Or excuse me, not 15. Let me see. Let's go down here. In verse 16, he knew who God was. He realized his situation because he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And you looked around, you could say, liar, you're lying. There's just me and just a servant. You're saying we're more than of them that's round about us. But he realized in his situation who God was. Amen. He knew who God was. And he says, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. When the enemy comes in like a flood, you need to say to the enemy, there's more with me than there is with you. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can make it. I can get through us. I can get through this. It's not recorded. Amen. But at that moment, the servant was probably thinking, Elisha, what in the world are you talking about? I mean, even somebody in first grade, Casper, might even have this down now. And most everybody knows 1 + 1 = 2. And he says, Elisha, look, it's just me and you. There's only two of us. Can't you count? Are you illiterate? You can't count. You don't understand math. There's more of them than there is of us. Possibly he was thinking that in his mind. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't see anyone standing here with us. I don't see anybody standing here with us. We need to understand what fear can do to us. You need to understand what fear can do to you. Amen. Fear will blind you to what God has in store for you, because the enemy doesn't want you to receive what God has for you. God specializes. We used to sing a song. God specializes in things called impossible. Amen. And the enemy doesn't want us to receive. But we need to understand, if we let fear rule us, what it can do to us. Amen. It will blind us to what God wants to do and what God can do. Oh, the conversation could have went on. Elisha didn't allow it. It's not recorded that the servant even tried. But that servant could have said, Elisha, they didn't have time because they were in camp. There was a bad thing about to happen. He said, Elisha, sit down. Sit down. We're going to have a little math class here, Elisha. Elisha, come to your senses. You're just living in a fantasy world. You're just living in this dream world. You need to get look at the reality of the situation. Now, Elisha, look, there's me and there's you. How many is that, Elisha? How many is that? And if Elisha would have entertained those thoughts, he would have said, well, that's just two of us. And he would have said, exactly, Elisha. Now look around you, and I want you to start counting all the men and all the chariots around us. And you go ahead and do that, then you tell me that two is more than how many ever there is out there. And Elisha could have gave himself into fear. He could have thought, my servant, you are right. This is the end of us. It's over. It's done. We're doomed. But he didn't give in to the reality of the situation. You can't let give in to the reality of the situation when you let faith arise in your hearts. People around you will always try to slap you back into reality. Amen. When somebody goes in sort of a comatose state and they're about to faint or whatever near La La Land, you might slap them a little bit to bring them back to reality. Hey, we're living in the here and now, and this is not a good situation, and it's not going to bode well for you. It's going to be a bad thing. You need to get out while you can. But Elisha wouldn't give entertainment to those thoughts, because if we give entertainment to the thoughts of the reality of the situation, fear will arise within our hearts. It just will. Look at Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. If he would have looked at the reality of the situation, I'm doomed. I'm done. It's over for me. God, it was nice knowing you. I'll be in heaven shortly with you. Say goodbye to the king and all the people. I guess it's all done for me. But he didn't give in to the reality of the situation. In the year that we're living, 2023, we're so educated. So many times we give our thoughts into the reality of the situation and we don't include God in the situation. Elisha included God in the situation. Amen. He included God in the situation. So he possibly said, now, what are you talking about? That servant said, I don't see anybody standing here with us. And we need to understand what fear can do to us. It will blind us to what God wants to do and what God can do. We must rise above fear. You must put your fears. Amen. You must put those what ifs. You got to put them to flight. Amen. You got to put them to flight. You got to put them out of your mind. Well, if I do this, and what if the reaction? Don't think about that. Put it out of your mind. When you move in faith, you're moving into a spiritual realm. You're moving into something God wants to do for you. So in verse 17, then Elisha prayed, and many of us need to do this at times in whatever situation that we're in. And he was praying specifically for the servant. And in verse 17, Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And in the situations that you're facing today, you can help this with help somebody else with this. If it's not saying anything to you this morning, you can help somebody else with this. In the situation that you're facing this morning, you need to pray, God, open my eyes that I can see what you want to do in this situation. Amen. There's nothing wrong with doing that. You may need to pray that way. God, open my eyes that I may see. I don't like the situation that I'm in. Job didn't like the situation that he was in. There's no indication he said he enjoyed it, but he could have said, God, open my eyes that I can see the big picture. God, open my eyes that I can see what you're doing in my life. God, open my eyes that I can see ultimately what's going to come out of this. We need to go in that direction. God, that I can see what you see. There's nothing wrong with praying that. God, I don't see you in this situation, but Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out, but God, what are you seeing? That servant could have looked at Elisha and said, Elisha, there's just me and you and all these servants, but Elisha, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? How are we going to get out of this situation? And he more or less did in verse 15. He says, how shall we do? What are we going to do in this situation? And he prayed, God, open his eyes that he may see. Amen. God, that I can see what you see. And what does John 4:4 tell us? And this is shared Friday night in fellowship meeting, but I had this before fellowship meeting even. Amen. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That is what we need to see. God, you're going to have to take the wheel. You're going to have to take control now because I'm at a loss. I don't know which direction to go in. I don't like what I'm seeing. The reality of the situation said there is no hope. The reality of the situation for Elisha and his servant was they were done. They were doomed. They were going to meet their maker that day because an army camped around about them. Chariots and horses and horsemen. There was no way two men could fight themselves out of that. But it says, God, that I can see what you see. Amen. What can we see? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to let that faith arise in our hearts from time to time. Are you ready to receive the help that God has ready for you? God has a heavenly host ready to help you. Are you ready to receive that help? Amen. The angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. The scripture, the word tells us that. I think that's in Psalms 91. It tells us the angel of the Lord is there. Are you ready to receive the help that God has for you? Or are you just going to keep looking at the reality of the situation and you're going to get more and more fearful and you're going to get more and more bound? And you're not going to have that freedom in the spirit. We need to be ready to receive the help that God has for us. God then opened the eyes of the servant. Amen. And that servant saw. And it says, open his eyes that he may see in verse 17. And the Lord opened the eyes of the servants and he saw. What did he see? The mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. The angel of the Lord, that's Psalms 34:7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that feareth them and delivereth them. Verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And verse 90 in that book says, fear the Lord, ye his saints. saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Are you ready to receive what it is that God has for you? God already has it there. You need to say, Lord, open my eyes that I can see. God, open my eyes. Give me some understanding in this situation. Do you think God's going to keep your eyes closed? He opened Elisha's eyes to it. Amen. And they looked, and there was and I'm going to read that a little bit. And it says, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. The angel of the Lord camps around you today if you fear the Lord. He's there. He's ready to bless you. He's ready to help you. He's ready to give you an answer for the situation that you're facing in your life. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Are you ready to receive? God delivered Elisha. God delivered Elisha because he was ready to receive. He knew who God was. You have to know who God is. You have to remind yourself of who God is. When the reality of the situation smacks you in the face, remind yourself of who God is. And Elisha did that. He knew who God was. He was ready to receive. Are you ready to receive the deliverance of the Lord? Are you ready to receive the help that God wants for you? Whatever is binding you, whatever is holding you down, whatever's holding you back, God has a deliverance ready for you, but you have to be ready to receive it. And are you ready? And part of being ready is, are you expecting to receive? Or it will always be this way. It's never going to change. Pastor, you don't understand. It's been this way for so long. I've heard so many sermons. I've tried so many things. I've reached out to God so many times. And everything's just always the same. It just never changes. Amen. We have to have an expectation that we're going to receive, amen, what it is from the Lord. We need deliverance for whatever, amen, has you bound, whatever has you boxed in. You need deliverance from that. Yeah, I can do this. Yeah, but we got to stop that. Amen. We need to be ready to receive, amen, that miracle that God has prepared for you. You need to be ready to receive that blessing that God has prepared for you. You desperately need blessed by the Lord, but you need to be ready to receive that blessing. For if you're not ready, you're not going to receive that blessing. There's a preparation that goes in. There has to be faith that arrives in our hearts. Amen. When we are totally ready, amen, we are ready. We are totally depending on the Lord. We trust Him. Amen. We trust Him, as Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. We trust Him with all of our hearts. We don't lean on our own understanding. Amen. Elisha was doing that. He was trusting in God with all of his heart. He wasn't leaning on his own understanding. Why did God let me get into this situation? The servant, he was going by what he's seen. But Elisha was trusting in the Lord with all of his heart. He wasn't leaning on his own understanding. And so when you're ready to totally depend upon God, you're going to trust Him with all of your heart. You're not going to be leaning toward the reality of the situation of your own understanding. Amen. You're not going to do that. God will deliver you. Are you ready for God to move on your behalf? Over in Mark chapter 5, just one more little example that we're going to look at this morning. Mark chapter 5. We want to look at this morning. I want to be ready to receive what God has for me. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 29. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She was ready for God to move on her behalf. Verse 25 says that she suffered this for 12 years. She wasn't ready to receive from the Lord yet. God will let you carry whatever it is you're carrying for 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, 20 years. He'll let you carry it. But when you determine that you're ready to receive what God has for you, the situation will change. And so she spent 12 years suffering. In verse 26, she spent all that she had, and she was no better. She had been there. She had done that. She had tried all avenues, exhausted. She spent all of her money. And you find yourselves in situations, you do all that you can do, and nothing's changed. Well, I don't have an issue of blood, but you can make an analogy there. You can make a comparison. You maybe didn't spend all your money, but you've got everything you humanly know possible to do, and everything remains the same. What are you going to do then? What are you going to do? So this woman, she heard of Jesus. She heard of Jesus in verse 27. And I say this to you this morning. Have you heard? And we're almost done here this morning. Have you heard of what Jesus can do in your situation? Have you heard of what Jesus can do in your situation? Jesus is the miracle worker. Jesus is the mountain worker. Jesus specializes in things called impossible. Have you heard about that today? She heard that Jesus was a healer. She reached out and she touched Jesus. Amen. And she made the move. She reached out and touched Jesus. Jesus didn't come to her and touch her. She went and she touched Jesus. At times, Jesus will come to you and he will touch you and help you in a miraculous way, and you'll be blessed by him. But there's times that you have to go and touch Jesus. You have to seek him. Are you ready to receive what God has for you this day? And in verse 28, this woman was ready. She was ready. And she evidenced this by her statement from faith in her heart. And what was the faith in her heart? She said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I shall be whole. At times, amen, at times you need to make a statement of faith. Lord, if I could just but touch you, this situation is going to change. I've done everything I know to do. I've exhausted all avenues. And if anything, things are getting worse. They're not getting better. God, I've got to touch you because you need to be in this situation this morning. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Let's reach out to the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Amen. Whatever situations that you might be facing in life, and maybe you're not facing anything this morning, but maybe something's going to come up this week that you don't even know about. What do you going to do about it? Are you going to be stuck in the reality of the situation? What happens if you go to work this week and you all get to notice that this place is shutting down? We have 1 month left to work and then you will not have a job. What are you going to do then? Are you going to look at the reality of the situation and say, well, I guess it's the end for me and I hope I can make it? Or are you going to let faith arise in your heart? Are you going to see it the way that God sees it? What happens if you get a diagnosis this week, or someone that you know is might get a diagnosis this week of a health situation that's not good? Are you going to succumb to it, the reality of the situation? I'm doomed. It's over. I'm going to die. If anybody was going to die, Elisha and that servant were going to die. But the servant was looking at the reality of the situation, and Elisha was looking at what God could do in that situation, and he knew that God was there. You need to know that God's there in whatever you're facing or going to face. Let's pray this morning. And God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, let faith arise in our hearts, God. Lord, let us be ready to receive that which you have prepared for us, oh God. Many times we don't receive it, God. We dwell too much on the reality of the situation, and it holds us down. It holds our faith down, God. But we're going to rise above that today in the name of Jesus. Lord, let faith arise in our hearts, God. Let us see what you see in the situations, oh God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, that there be a deliverance, God. That there be a healing. That there be salvation, God. Lord, that the sun is going to shine again. That things are going to be different now. There's victory in you, God. Lord, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Reach out to the Lord this morning. We're going to sing that song, Victory, Victory, It Is Mine. If I hold my peace and I let the Lord fight my battles, victory, victory, it is mine. Fear doesn't need to rule. Fear wants to rule. Amen. But that holds us back. We're not ready to receive what God wants to do for us. Oh God, help us, Jesus. Let's sing that a few times this morning. Victory, victory, it is mine. Let faith arise in your hearts. If anybody wants special prayer, amen, you can come up. We'll pray with you this morning that God will help you today. Amen.